Oh, I forgot. You ate food. We can pause while you figure out your life.
Sorry.
It was my fault. I was like, put this in your body. We're recording now.
That's fine. I like it when you're demanding. Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of JNL Watches. I'm Jess Leah.
And I am Josh Prime.
And today you're watching Lock and Key, Season 1, Episode 4, The Keeper of the Keys.
Indeed we are. In this episode, we are getting the fallout from Kinsey removing her fear.
Ooh.
Apparently having no fear makes you unafraid to dye your hair funky colors.
Yeah.
And be rude to your mother. That's really the things that it allows.
Oh, and she kisses Scott with one T.
She does kiss Scott with one T and looks like Taylor Swift at various moments throughout this entire sequence.
It's true.
She re-friends the Savini squad. She apologizes to Scott with one T. She shows him about the head key. Like, all kinds of craziness. Meanwhile, Tyler has decided, after being probed and encouraged by the head of year 11, that he should pretend he's interested in things that girls like, because that's a great lesson.
Yeah.
The implication is that if he finds some common ground, then they can talk about anything. So first he tries to learn everything he can about England, because he thinks she likes that. Then he tries to get a book out of the library that Jane Austen wrote, which I've never heard of,
incidentally.
All to pursue this girl who is so fucking boring.
I almost like the friend better. Mm-hmm. The, like, slutty one? At least she's got some character.
At least she has a personality.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. And then Bodhi gets attacked by Echo. And we learn that the keys have to be given to Echo. Echo can't take them.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty big revelation.
I agree.
So that's fun.
It is fun. So here we are, and Kinsey woke up hella early, like at 5 o'clock, and is making everyone breakfast.
God, I haven't woken up before 8 a.m. in at least 9 months.
I do wake up early still, but I have a small dog now, so I gotta let it out to pee at some point.
So that was your decision.
I know. But my point is, I've never made like a 5-course meal at 5 o'clock in the morning.
No. And also, like, I'm thinking of me as a high school student.
Mm-hmm.
There is absolutely no way I would know how to make any of the things that she has made for breakfast.
I would know how to make them. My concern is she literally just took a stack of tomato slices and put them on top of her pancakes.
That is disgusting.
Yes!
How did I not notice that? I definitely noticed there was something red and gross, but I didn't realize it was tomato.
Listener, you can tell me that I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure that was a stack of tomatoes.
That is gross.
Exactly.
That is absolutely disgusting. Maybe it was like Taylor ham. That could be red.
Okay. Ham would be a better option.
At least it's breakfasty.
Exactly.
At least it has a place at the breakfast table. No, I just made pancakes for the first time ever 3 or 4 weeks ago. So
what? You never made pancakes before that?
No, people make pancakes for me.
That's fair and a goal that I could strive for.
Listen,
yeah. You
could get back to that point. No, I never, so like as a kid, you know, I lived with 4 adults.
Yeah.
So there wasn't really enough, and I mean 4 like grown ass people. So it wasn't like I had a lot of opportunity to use the kitchen because 4 adults were using the kitchen. So it was like not a thing. And then on top of that, like, it just never even was an issue. And then I lived in college where they made the food for me. And I did that for, 6 years?
Yeah.
And it's like, that wasn't a thing. And then I moved back in with my family. And then eventually lived on my own where I still had a meal plan at the school I was working at. So like, yeah, I just haven't really had a lot of opportunity to cook. And I'm fine with that. There's a lot of people who are like, oh, how do you like, you have to know how to cook.
You don't really.
I don't.
Yeah.
I've made it a long way. Like, I'm an old man. And I have not had to cook yet. And I'm not going to start.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I always really liked it.
Oh, I hate it.
Really?
It just makes a huge mess, and I'm not a big food person.
Mm-hmm.
So the amount of energy that, like, there will never be something easy enough to cook that is worth the effort for how, quote-unquote, delicious the food is. Because it could be orgasmic, and I'm still like, meh.
Yeah.
I'm just like, yeah, this is food, I get it, I need it to sustain life, but I don't want to mess out the whole room of my house every single fucking day to cook up some food. It's not a thing.
Yeah, that's fair. I think when I have the time and the ingredients, I enjoy it. I don't want to get the ingredients to make the stuff, and I don't want to do the dishes after.
Sure.
But if, Like, all the stuff is there, and someone else cleans up afterwards, I'm good to go.
So if you, like, wander up to, like, TV show test kitchen with all the pre-measured ingredients, you're like, this is fun. Yeah. Being Martha Stewart sounds great.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if I could have, like, my own cooking show where I have, like, a crew that, like, puts everything out and, like, cleans up after myself, great.
I told you this. Maybe I haven't said on the show. I went to a taping of the Rachel Ray talk show.
You did? What? I've known you for how long? And this is the first time, listener, I'm hearing the story.
So, Rachel Ray, I don't know if it's still even on. Probably not. Rachel Ray used to have a talk show.
Yeah.
And it was part cooking show, part sit down talk. And it was a very strange set. Because she had a full kitchen set for when she was cooking. But she also had, like, the traditional talk show couch and table. And the audience rotated depending on where she was in the room.
Oh, interesting.
So the whole audience was sitting on this big, like, giant record turntable situation. And she would walk to the different parts of the set. And you'd feel the whole set just slowly turning to face her. It was very interesting. But yeah, we went to a taping of the Rachel Ray show. And I've never seen what aired, so I have no idea, like, if I'm in it or whatever. But I went to the taping, and I don't even remember who the guests were. Like, I really have no idea. But she cooked something, and she had somebody come who brought flavored potato chips.
Oh.
And so everybody in the audience got to taste these flavored potato chips, and they were not good, for the record. And then after, we all got makeup kits. That was the big giveaway. You know how talk shows, they're always like, we're giving away iPads. Yeah. I got a makeup kit.
I bet you used it every day.
I think I just gave it to the person who I was with. Like, here you go. But yeah, so I have no souvenirs from my experience of seeing the Rachel Ray show.
And
so, but I did. I saw it. There was a lot of rules about what you could wear. Ooh. Had to be solid color items. No logos, no stripes, no patterns.
Oh, interesting.
And no black.
Oh.
So it had to be bright color. Because I guess when the camera is panning, they want you to look like a lively, happy audience. And there definitely were less people than I would have thought watching the show.
Interesting.
Like, they sort of shoot it in such a way that it looks like there's a lot of people, yeah. even though it's a relatively small...
It's like class. The classroom effect in Boy Meets World.
Yeah, except it was not very effective. You could tell there were 9 people in that room.
Yeah.
They also did it on Third Rock from the Sun. They had 9 desks, and you were like, what kind of college classroom is this?
Yeah. 9 people, what a joke. I went to a small school. I had more than 9 kids in my classes.
I took one class in college that had 3 people. That was the smallest ever, but that was grad school. That wasn't, like, undergrad.
That's fair. I'm trying to think. I took an undergrad class, like a history class that I needed, and I think there was only 5 of us.
Yeah.
But I think that was, like, the limit. Like, 5 was...
Yeah, since I have been there, you now can't run a class with less than some number.
Mm-hmm.
We were definitely below it.
Mm-hmm.
The class I was in, it was counseling practice.
Mm.
So the class was supposed to be that you and I go into a room, and we had these rooms, it was fucking weird, that had like a closed circuit TV, and they recorded you. We had to go buy VHS tapes, which like, VHS is old. It was still old then, but like, it was less old. So we had to buy these VHS tapes, and they would record you having a counseling session with a classmate.
Oh, Josh.
As the counselor. And then you'd switch seats and do it again. And so at the end, you had a tape of you as a client and you as a counselor. And because there was only 3 of us, we had to do this, like, triad. It was so awkward. And then on the other side of the closed-circuit TV behind the double-sided window, the teacher was just watching us creepily, like, saw.
No. No, no, no. Hard pass. No, thank you.
It was a requirement to get the degree, so I did it. I passed with flying colors.
You know, anytime that I had to, like, videotape myself for my stupid degrees in the classroom, it was not worth it, friends. I will tell you this right now.
I was definitely uncomfortable with the sound of my voice on recordings. Clearly, I've gotten over that.
Yeah.
But now I listen to my voice 7,000 hours a week editing this damn thing. And so I'm used to it now. Still weird to see myself on video.
Yeah, I still don't love that.
I feel like my movements are not how normal humans move. I'm like, is that how I just move? Is that what my hands are doing all the time?
I think I'm just so nervous being on video that I do... Like, I already make a lot of hand gestures, but I feel like I overcompensate because I'm nervous, so I do even more.
Well, I always like when actors are portraying what they perceive to be bad actors, they're always like, I don't know what to do with my hands.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just, like, waving my hands up and down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
you know.
Yeah, these actors are shooting me on first dates. It's like a train wreck.
Put my hands on the table? Is that maybe on my glass and on my hip? Is that the best way to do this?
Yeah. Like, let me hold something. Like, that's better. Like, if you're going on a date, it's better if you're, like, doing an activity, because at least then I can, like, do the activity.
Where what kind of activity? Sexual intercourse?
I mean, that would be preferable. But, like, you know, like a cornhole, like...
Oh, that's a good sexual activity.
Like, hold a drink in one hand and throw the ball with the other.
By the way, why do we call it that? Do straight people not know what cornhole actually means?
Okay. On the East Coast, it's called beanbag toss.
Because like, that's what it fucking is, tossing a beanbag.
Yeah. But out here, everyone calls it cornhole, so I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't understand. I also don't understand why it's popular. Because, like, on the East Coast, it's like, it's a thing, but it's not, like, a cultural milestone. Yeah. Whereas here, you go to any bar when they're open, and they're like, oh, we've got a cornhole tournament every Tuesday afternoon. I'm like, I don't give a fuck about that at all. Thank you for the alert. Do you have, like, a text message chain I can get on? What the hell?
Yeah, I do like cornhole or beanbag toss.
You like seeing other drunk people. Yeah, are you kidding?
I know.
The sport is tangential to your enjoyment.
I can do this leisurely while holding a drink.
It could be horseshoes, it could be darts, you don't give a fuck.
Oh, I do like darts too.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. It's a drunk activity you do with people. Yeah. Except darts, you have a risk of hurting someone.
Even better.
I like that. Throwing pointed objects across the room.
Yeah.
A weird area. So, we have a couple of things that have happened on the show. Mm-hmm. First, we have met a new friend of Rendell when he was a child, who's now in a mental ward.
Yes, and it wasn't just a friend. It was his girlfriend.
Ooh, his significant other.
Yes.
And Echo shows up, and she does not seem pleased.
No, because apparently, I think her name is Erin. But anyway, Vossi? Is that her
name? Yeah, she calls her Vossi. I don't know what, that's her, clearly her last name.
Yeah. Anyway, this person at the mental institution doesn't speak, so that's unfortunate, I guess, for Well Lady.
It's true. And Well Lady taps her on the forehead and goes, I'm going to figure out a way to get in there and start a quest for the head key.
Yes.
Which, like, everybody seems to agree on the names without having talked about it. To me, it would be the mind key, but that's neither here nor there.
Oh, yeah.
Because of how that's what it helps you enter.
Yeah.
I guess because the key is literally a head.
Yeah.
If it was a brain, maybe I'd be like the mind key, the brain key.
Is the fire key called the flame key?
I always call it the flame key. I don't know if we've said the name of it out loud at this point. We've certainly seen it a bunch.
Yeah.
It appears in this episode quite a bit, too.
Yeah.
Our friend Echo gives it to dude who shot their father in jail.
Sam?
She gives him the key, and she uses it to set their kitchen on fire in the key house.
It's true. Not good. Oh!
Not a deal.
The principal? Dean?
The dean of 11th grade.
Yes.
I refuse to call him the English teacher because he is the dean of 11th grade. Let's not forget that title.
Well, he has a fun, like, heart-to-heart with Tyler about, like, boxing, which turns into, like, a metaphor of, you know, trying new things, and it's very cute.
Staying away from the kid from Some Assembly Required.
Yeah. Apparently they're bad influences.
They are, clearly.
Yeah, they stole beer that one time.
And got away with it. So, Bodie is talking to Rufus and finds out that Rufus's mom says, never go to the well house.
Mm-hmm. And also that Lucas was, who's now dead, was Ellie's old...
flame.
Yeah.
Which we knew, but Bodie didn't know.
Exactly.
We knew because Ellie told it to
Nina
last week?
I think so.
There's a lot of threads. There's a lot going on.
It's true.
I feel bad for India, who's trying to track this with us as we drunkenly talk.
I know.
It. It's gonna be fine. We'll get there.
Poor India. I'm like, you should skip the first 17 minutes because we talked about some nonsense.
I mean, we always do. Yeah, that's not that's new. True. As long as we're not spoiling the show, I feel like we can talk about whatever we want.
Yeah.
Nobody is coming here for our peak journalism about Lock and Key. That's not what this is about.
It's that's true. We do lead interesting lives that we like to share with our listeners.
Especially during the pandemic when we can't leave our homes.
Here we are.
Here we are doing this. So Bodhi has gotten a book. Also, I forgot to mention in my little brief summary, Echo seems to be all powerful now. She appears in his book about the history of Matheson, very Harry Potter, very, you know, strange. Sorry, JK.
Yeah.
And then she also, when she comes later, all the lights in the house burst, which, like, how can she do that? That's fucking new. And the flame key creates this fiery vortex she manages to walk through. Like, she seems to be able to use the keys in some unique, interesting ways.
Well, I kind of just wish we had a whole episode just about her. Yeah. Like, give us her, like, background and, like, what powers does she have versus don't have.
And I think the issue is that, yes, I would love that information as well. But I think the show has wisely told us nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we knew, mm-hmm. we might not be as afraid of her, and she would be way less sexy. Let's talk about that. That's the fact that she's mysterious and is comfortable killing children, that's what makes her attractive.
Noted for future. Josh is attracted to you.
Attracted to leggy, dark-haired ladies who are comfortable with child murder. That's really what it's about.
Yep, and God, mysterious.
I hate Tyler's love interest. I fucking cannot stand her. Every time I see her now, I am just like, why did they write her so poor? It's not the actress's fault. It is really not. She just has not been given anything interesting to do at all.
Yeah.
Even her, we know one thing about her at this point. She's interested in, well, two things. She's interested in 5Ks. Who fucking cares about that at all? And she really is into England. Oh, what a great character trait. Why does he want to fuck her? It's clearly just because of her looks. Yeah. Like, it's clearly look-based because she has not done anything funny, interesting, like, she's just...
She's not Julie in the Phantoms!
And she's been kind of mean to him at various points. Like, why is this storyline something we're spending so much time on?
I'd be more into this if they had more interactions up until this point. Or, like, more meaningful interactions where she wasn't such a high-strung bitch.
I wish that she, like... They clearly are trying to paint her as, like, the Hermione.
Mm-hmm.
She's, like, really into school. 2 Harry Potter references in one day. Mm-hmm. She's really into school. She's really into her thing. Willow. Like, mm-hmm. that's, like, her character. Do that. Mm-hmm. Like, do that better than what you're doing now. Like, she's just... Maybe it's just because she doesn't get enough screen time. Maybe I'll blame it on that.
Okay.
There's too many characters. We gotta kill some more people.
Maybe in season 2 she'll be better.
Maybe. You know.
There's something... They can only go up from there, right?
Yeah, well, since they've given her literally nothing, they can only go up from there. They can't take anything away from her. All she's interested in is England.
It's true. I mean, they could kill her, which I guess she would go 6 feet under.
Yeah.
But that would still be a highlight, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, we could use it for some dramatic tension, you know?
Yeah,
I guess it's mildly spoilery to say that this bitch is not going to die before the end of the season.
Oh, yeah. But sorry, like, friends.
Why would she? That's...
Yeah.
She's not important enough to be in the fray.
Yeah. Oh, we did just miss friends. So, bitch we don't like approached Tyler about exchanging numbers to help. Because Tyler agreed, apparently, to help with this 5K.
But in reality, it was just Pimp Daddy 11th grade Dean.
Volunteering his student for something he didn't want to do.
I mean, what I find hilarious about this is he knows that his student doesn't want to do 5Ks. He wants to dip his wick in this girl.
Yeah.
And he's like, let me figure out ways to make that easier for you. Like, not okay.
No.
Not okay.
I feel like you shouldn't do that as a teacher.
Mm-mm.
But also, I've been watching... Have you seen the teacher show on...
No, I actually was going to watch it the other day because I know it's something that's going to be on brand for me.
Yeah. So I've been watching it. And it's good.
I assumed you'd already finished it, because you talked about it a couple weeks ago.
So it's one of those annoying shows that, like, only produces one episode a week.
Oh, I kind of enjoy that, I'll be honest. Because so here's the thing. I like being able to binge and watch all the shows.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love the phrase binge, just throwing it out there.
Mm-hmm.
Not my favorite, but that's the term, so we've agreed. But I just don't love that, like, this show is sort of guilty of this, too, where every episode doesn't feel like it has an episode. It feels like a piece of a 10-part movie.
Yeah.
And I don't love that.
Yeah.
It has to be really interesting to keep my attention, and most stuff just isn't. And so...
That's fair.
That's the problem I have. So when they do a show that's slow release like that, it gives me confidence that they're actually making discrete things to try and get me to come back and watch it the next time. And so I appreciate that.
Yeah. It is good.
And if I watch it now, there's many episodes out already, so I'd be fine.
It's true. 6 or 7? I don't remember. In any case, it's good. You should watch it. The end.
So, Headkey has a new feature.
It does.
If you want to know something, you put it in your head,
yep.
and you just know it.
Yep.
So he throws the entire book of the history of Matheson, minus the page that Echo appeared in.
Yep.
And now he knows all the facts about Matheson. And then he uses a bunch of books on England to do the same.
Which means, friends, that I would never study for a damn thing ever in my life.
Honestly, like, this is... I know that I said the Anywhere key is my favorite key, but this is my favorite use of a key.
Yeah.
This is cool as shit.
Yeah.
Like, this is a superpower. Like, that's amazing.
Yeah. Like, want to know quantum physics? Get me a book.
Yeah. Go to a college library at night using the Anywhere key and just put all the books in it and then leave.
Fucking genius.
I would use that to know all the languages.
Oh.
Just, like, learn every language immediately.
Yeah. Languages, and I want to know how to read and compose music, I think would be cool.
Yeah.
Or, like, play instruments.
And, like, so that's a big question, right? And I guess language is the same thing. Knowing all the words doesn't necessarily mean you know how to speak a language.
It's true.
Knowing all the notes and how to do it doesn't mean that you actually can make your hands create music. But I would like to try. I would like the opportunity to give it a go.
Right. I feel like once I know all the words, it'd be easier for me to figure out the language.
I feel, okay, so this is going to sound very strange.
Sure.
But every time I just was screaming about this the other day, so it's cocked and ready to go in terms of my anger.
Mm-hmm.
I've taken many a Spanish class. I'm doing Duolingo right now with the intention of trying to be better at Spanish. And I think I'm maintaining. I'm certainly not getting worse at Spanish, mm-hmm. but I don't know that I'm getting any better.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem I have with it is every class I've ever taken, every time I've tried to learn a language, all of the stuff that's, like, considered intro to Spanish is, like, pasaporte, maleta, boleto. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need travel tips, Spanish language. Like, worse, it's just so useless. Like, why do I need to know about my tickets, my train, my passport? Like, I get that I need those things to get to the place.
Yeah.
But I guarantee you that the airport, there's somebody who speaks English.
Yeah.
Like, what I need to know is, like, how to order food, how to ask where the bathroom is. Things that I'm going to encounter once I'm at the place where people speak a foreign country. When I'm at the airport, I sort of expect that there's going to be people around who know how to help pretty much anybody who's coming through and doing their thing. Or that I could figure it out because airport... It's not complicated.
Yeah.
You show your ID, you get a ticket, you go on the plane, you get off the plane. Like, how hard is this?
Man, I went to Costa Rica once for 6 days. And granted, it was only 6 days. I knew no Spanish. Tried to, like, get by with, like, my limited French that I had. French is very different from Spanish.
Yes, you're correct.
And I just remember coming back and I had a layover in some, like, U.S. airport, obviously. And I heard English for the first time in days, and I was like, where the fuck am I?
What is happening? Yeah. And that's the thing, like, I kind of want, and this is going to sound super bizarre, I want a Spanish class that teaches me, like, Blue's Clues teaches English. Like, I want to be sitting there, and I want to watch Elmo tell me, like, the letter of the day is Hache, or whatever they say for H, I honestly don't know. I used to know all the alphabet in Spanish, I don't anymore, but I know all the letters are much harder than English.
Yeah.
Also, I've determined that I will just never know the days of the week in any other language.
Isn't it?
Duolingo is constantly trying to tell me, like, the baseball game is Sunday. And I'm like, first of all, I would never be talking about a baseball game, so you don't know me very well. Second, there is zero chance I'm talking about baseball ever. Thank you.
Pitching? No.
Jugador de baseball? Yeah. No, not gonna happen. But yeah, and then the days of the week, I'm always like, I have no fucking idea. Sábado, domingo, martes, lunes, no idea. No idea which one goes where, what the order is, no clue.
Yeah, you said all those things, and I was like, trying to remember what that was in French, and I got nothing.
Nope, can't do it. So yeah, those are just things that, like, but again, if I was a young person learning English for the first time, we're not going to open with the days of the week. Like, that's not the first lesson. Like...
I honestly don't remember how I learned English. I'm pretty sure I struggled for a long time.
Well, years, in fact. I'm pretty sure that when you learn English, it's because there's necessity.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're a child and you're like, I have to shit. I need to learn the phrase for that or I'm gonna shit. Like, that's a motivation you can't mimic as an adult.
Hearing is, I should have stayed in Costa Rica for a long ass time. I just acquired the language.
Well, apparently that is really the way to do it.
Yeah, I know.
And, but, like, you know, you're hungry, and if you don't eat, you'll die. So you got to figure out how to ask for food. Like, that's how to learn a language.
It's true.
Necessity.
It did help in Costa Rica. There are a lot of, like, pictures next to things, and I was like, that looks like a fish.
That's what I want. Yeah. I want that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Oh, we've got Kinsey bringing in one tea to the house.
And nobody is home.
Nobody's home. What chaos.
Tell me about the first time you brought home someone with no supervision.
Never. I mean, I'm an adult, so now I've done it many times. Yeah. No, but as a teenager, no, never.
Yeah,
like
same.
Well, I guess I've had people at my house when I was a kid.
Sure.
But I was never, like, trying to do anything untoward with them. Whereas she is clearly plotting some sort of sexual exploit.
I did throw one house party in my lifetime.
Wow.
Exactly. By house party, I mean, I think there was all of five people there. That happened, but nothing. I mean, we drank alcohol, but...
Did you get caught?
I did not, actually.
To this day?
I don't think, well, my brother was home, so he knows about it, but, like, I don't think my parents know about it. Or at least they'd never said anything.
And if you tell them now, they would disown you and kick you out of the house.
Probably.
All that, yeah. I love, so this scene with 1T reminds me so much of Julie and the Phantoms when the ghost boys are hanging out in Julie's house.
Yeah.
Because they're in his her bedroom and they're just so out of place and don't know what to do. And he's in the same boat. He picks up an eraser and goes, I don't know what this is for. She's like, for erasing?
But also, this is, like, the most awkward thing. So, essentially, what Kinsey does is, like, let's give you a tour of the house. And essentially, he's like, here's this room. Now let's go to my bedroom. And then they awkwardly sit on the bed. And, like, she kind of, like, leans in a little bit and is, like, looking like she's going to, like, start, like, a makeup sesh. And is like, actually, let me show you this really cool thing. And it's, like, the stupid key.
So then I can make out with you while in my own brain.
Yeah.
Which is...
essentially where we're going.
That's what's going to happen. He takes this... amazingly well.
Yeah.
The sudden appearance of a revolving door in her bedroom should be concerning, and it is not concerning to him. Well, I mean, it's concerning in some ways, but he just doesn't seem nearly as freaked out as he should be.
Also, we didn't mention yet, but Scott with 1T has very strange taste in clothes.
Oh my god, his clothing. This it's horizontal striped blue shirt with, like, chevrons and, like, knit patterns on it, a t-shirt, and then a pair of pants that can only be described as horrific. Like, they are the worst. And then his shoes are brightly colored, which I don't hate on people's shoes, but, like, the whole look together, no.
Yeah.
If you're gonna wear wild shoes, the rest of your clothes have to be demure to match.
Yeah.
To, like, offset. You know, you don't wanna shock the eye quite so poorly as he's doing right now.
Yeah, he's playing with a lot of patterns and colors, which is a bold choice. But, you know, I guess it's high school, so you wear whatever you want.
Is she wearing shortalls? Did I not notice this earlier?
Yeah, overalls that are shorts with tights underneath, and...
I didn't realize that she was a toddler. That's...
Okay, I do want a pair of overalls, though.
I would love for overalls to become acceptable for me to wear in the world. I would totally do that. Well, I mean, I don't go in the world, so it's not really a big deal. But, yeah, no, I would love to be able to wear overalls, but I always feel... weirdly naked in overalls. I think it's because I don't have a waist. Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing holding me at the waist, and I feel like I need to be held at the waist.
Can you belt it?
I mean, I don't think so. What if you have to pee as a girl? You have to take off all your clothes. Like, it's complete disrobing.
I mean, it's the same thing with wearing a onesie.
Right, but I don't have that problem.
Yeah.
So, like, but I mean, I wear a onesie to sleep. She's, like, out in the world, so if she needs to go into a public restroom, she has to completely disrobe.
Yeah, but we have our own stalls.
I mean, I understand how bathrooms operate.
Yeah. You're correct.
But, like, that's time-consuming. I don't have that kind of time. And as a gentleman, peeing does not take very long. So, like, I don't want to make that process lengthier, especially since I'm, in this scenario, a girl where it takes 7 fucking years for you to pee. Because it's already, like, a whole experience of, like, having to completely disrobe, sit down, completely re-robe, Rerobe? Is that the phrase?
Yeah, put your clothes back on. Yep. And not to mention, you have to, like, usually wait in line to get to the bathroom.
Another problem.
And then sometimes you have to make friends in the bathroom.
I've never had that. I don't want to make friends in the bathroom. Or ever, really.
Yeah. That's fair.
So we're looking at the brain pieces. It's a whole bunch of nonsense. They're going to have their little makeout sesh right here. And in the Memories of Dad store, because that doesn't reek of daddy issues. Yep. Let's take this boy I like into my dad memory bank and suck his face. Kinsey, it's a little rough being you, girl.
Also, I hate to knock her socks off, but... Like,
we're coming for her today.
We just explored this room with, like, all the memories for dad. There's a whole mall of your whole brain. Like, wouldn't you explore something new?
Well, we wanted to go here because the big storyline that's been happening, or I shouldn't say the big, the, like, bubbling under the surface storyline that's been happening, is that because she has no fear, she's been very direct and very upfront, mm-hmm. and she said something kind of rude to her mom and said, like, oh, you know, detail-oriented tasks really aren't your thing. I'll take care of this. And then she goes into a memory of her father and sees that her mom was also there, and then she feels guilty. So, like, that's the bubbling under the surface story, which probably wouldn't have been as easy to do if they'd gone into the Bodhi being Bodhi store. Like,
but, like, perhaps way more fun.
Yes. I would like to go to the Christmas morning store. I think that would be really entertaining. Oh, but that's just me.
Lots of gifts.
I'm just also kind of curious if every store is, like, these weird candy jugs, or if that's just the dad memory store.
I hope it's just the dad memory store, but we don't actually know.
We have no information. Mm-mm. So, while Tyler is talking to Girl I Hate, yeah. let's go to our listener mail.
Yay!
Because, like, this is never ending.
No.
So, we've got a message from India, Omega, and Zulu, as per usual.
Nice.
We have two messages from Zulu to review. So, let's start with India today.
Okay.
So India writing about Welcome to Matheson, the first episode Ooh. Of this. It's just her virgin ears on the show. So here
yeah,
we go.
We're so excited.
India here. Yes, thank you. Thoughts on the episode before listening to the podcast. Love the creepiness. However, several times I had to yell at Bodhi to get away from the well. Yeah, it's true. He's stupid. And was sure his arm was going to get all torn up in the garbage disposal.
Yep.
Also true. Don't put your hand in the garbage disposal, kids.
No.
Very first scene was very X-Files-y, and I was down for it, and can't wait until they reveal more about it. Also saw an homage to The Shining. That's true. The opening sequence of the fire is very X-Files cold open.
Mm.
Also, like, a Buffy season 1 and 2 cold open, they used to do that too. Very cool. I like it. I believe the credits thanked a lot of Canadians, so agreed this is filmed in Canada, not Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
Just checked the interwebs, filmed in Toronto and Nova Scotia.
I was so right.
Already a fan of the show because what Buffy is really missing is ocean views. There you go.
That's fair.
They went to the ocean that one time when Buffy slayed the football with Riley and Willow used magic to make it rain.
Yes.
Leah just discovered she has two scrunchies and that threw her completely off.
Yep.
They're both leopard prints.
They are.
Are you going to watch Maxwell Sheffield's Children?
Keep going.
That reference is lost on most people, I'm sure. Please stop talking about The Ring, because that movie still gives me nightmares. We promise. At least we promise to try.
Yeah.
I also can't believe that movie still gives you nightmares. It's kind of an odd movie.
I've never seen it. I just know that a girl comes out of a TV, I think.
It's true. Yes. And Traveling Pants Girl is in it in the beginning.
Titty? Jana Marcania?
No, Jonah Marcadia, yes.
Yeah.
I was like, the one who
Titty.
Is with Dawn all the time.
Yeah.
She says then, yes, Echo is hot. Reminds me of Morena Baccarin and Nara from Firefly.
Hmm.
Add her to my list, which I think at this point is just Gillian Anderson and Morena Baccarin.
I love Inara.
Inara is great. I don't think I ever had a strong attraction to Inara in the same way that I have other characters, and I'm not really entirely certain why. No, I honestly don't know why Morena Baccarin, because she definitely strikes all of the buttons on my normal, like, I think this person is attractive list. I appreciate that you want to sleep with Morena Baccarin, though. What
Me
about
too.
A Morena Baccarin, Gillian Anderson, like, sandwich moment?
Ooh, yeah, write us about that next week.
She would definitely leave Indio for that. She LOLs at Omega as the conscientious objector for Lock and Key. And thanks for introducing me to the show. It was hard not to binge the next episode, but I held tough. Till next week, India. India, I'm so glad that you are taking this journey with us. It gives me hope that we should pick, like, weird shows people haven't seen more often. Because I think, like, introducing you to the show is going to be really fun.
I agree.
Then we have a message from Zulu, as I mentioned earlier, related
Yay.
To this episode, same one, first episode of this show.
Sure.
Goodest of mornings, Casters of Pod, Lock and Key, I am excited. I should really rewatch the show while you guys are reviewing it. I agree.
Yeah.
Seems like that's what India's doing
you
as well.
You should do it.
I'm not saying just Leah's wrong about whether Matheson looks like Massachusetts, because I don't innately know what Massachusetts' coastline looks like.
That's fair.
But I've spent a lot of hours along Buzzard Bay and Cape Cod, including one summer where I lived in the in-law apartment of a giant house like Key House. Can confirm the Massachusetts coasts can be real, real pretty.
It is pretty. Yeah. It just looks not like it does here.
Then he goes, Josh Prime, you add Echo to your women you would sleep with list. Is it the character you're attracted to or the actress? Laisla de Oliveira, which I don't know if I said right at all, but that's fine.
No,
it's definitely the character. I don't know the actress. I have no idea what else she's done. I have no context. And I don't think Mana Suvari, who I also am deeply, deeply attracted to, she's also in American Pie. She does nothing for me in that movie. So, like, it's very specific to her performance in American Beauty and 6 Feet Under. Mostly 6 Feet Under, if I'm being honest. Because I loved...
I forgot that she was in 6 Feet Under.
Oh my god, I loved her in 6 Feet Under. So yeah, so I think it's the character.
That's fair.
More specifically.
Yeah.
But yes, I appreciate that question. That's a really good question. I feel like I've heard more about The Craft Legacy than about Locke and Key this episode. Yeah, because The Craft Legacy was fucking trash. It's fucking trash.
It was bad.
I'm gonna start... I've written... Oh. A 4-page treatment on why I think The Craft is better than The Craft Legacy. And during this pandemic, I'm going to post a video on YouTube featuring clips and voices of me. And I'm kind of excited about it. And I've never done that before. And I'm weirdly nervous. But I've gotten footage today that I can use to do things.
Good.
So, like, coming soon to a YouTube near you.
There you go.
But yeah. I figure, like... I already bitch about TV shows enough. I might as well do it with video.
Mm-hmm.
So, why not? Mm-hmm. I had entirely forgotten about the Anywhere key being worn around the sister's wrist. Super weird. Agreed.
Yeah.
He says, I love vanilla ice cream, but that's something y'all just buy at the grocery store. If you're at an ice cream shop, you get something fun. Though if you're getting 2 or 3 scoops, sure. Throw a vanilla in as a palate cleanser.
Yeah.
But if you're going to a store and buying vanilla.
Yeah. Rude.
Rude. So, keys we've met so far... Matchstick key, which is what he calls this key, and I feel like he did some Googling, so that's what we'll call it. The matchstick key. I think that, as I read it, I was like, that's correct.
Yeah.
Then the Anywhere key and the Mirror key. We've seen a lot more since then. We've got the head key, we've got the ghost door dead key thing, whatever we're calling that. There's been a lot going on. And he talks about the Lock and Key comics, which he has not read. I have not read them either. I encourage you to do so. I would absolutely love to hear... how this compares to the comic.
Yeah.
That would be a great thing. Sure, I could probably go on the YouTube, but, like, I trust Zulu more than I do random internet fuck.
Yeah.
As I say, trying to talk about Craft Legacy on YouTube.
That's It's fine.
But it's fine. So thank you very much for writing in. Remind me to go back to his second email. But first,
yay,
we have to take a look at our message from Omega, who has, of course, written about this very episode.
Yay.
Before we do it, though, Echo is wearing... tight, iridescent pants as she goes into the prison to give the quote-unquote matchstick key to the murderer kid. And I love the pants.
Yeah.
And I normally hate stovepipe-style pants, so, like, you know that I've got the hots for her because I'm, like, willing to look these pants over and not have problems with them.
I mean, to be fair, it really just matches with her jacket ensemble and appearance right now.
She's just great.
I know.
Anyway, so Omega writes in for this very episode, Dear Josh Prime and Jess Leah, older brother, we call him Tyler, basically only agreed to volunteer for the activity because his crush was working on it. Yeah. Actually, he didn't even really volunteer. Really, the dean of 11th grade volunteered him, and he just was too Tyler to say, no, I didn't volunteer, but that's fine. Did you ever participate in things exclusively to be in the orbit of someone that you were into?
Oh, absolutely.
Tell us more.
I feel like, literally, I have no opinions about most things. Like,
okay, so let's do this. Okay. Have you ever participated in something that you actively disliked to be nearer to somebody that you wanted to sleep with?
Yes.
What was the activity?
Many. To start, I hate beer. I've been to so many breweries.
Oh, because everybody you date is a weird heterosexual bro.
Exactly.
And they all like beer.
Exactly.
Does the current boy drink beer?
No, actually.
That's great.
Yeah, that's
settle down. I don't have to fucking drink beer ever again. I think that's good.
But like beer, I've been to like a shooting range.
Oh god.
I don't want to do that.
Have you thrown an axe yet?
No, but
that you do.
Yeah,
I believe you would do that. I picture you being like, man who sent me dick pics, brah! That's the image I have in my head. And like,
story checks out. I had to, like, I watched somebody's bird once. That was in college. But yeah, I've done some very weird shit. Massages.
Wait. Getting a massage or giving a massage?
Both.
You've given a massage to be closer to a man.
Yeah.
At that point, you're just having sex.
Yeah, I know.
Like, if you're going to somebody's house with the explicit goal of giving or getting a massage, you're taking your clothes off and getting rubbed on by a stranger. Yeah. That's just sex.
It was, but I...
At that point, you don't need to pretend you like massages. You can just be like, yo, I'd like to have sex.
Yeah, that's true.
Honestly, you're like the kind of woman that every man thinks they're talking to when they're talking to a woman who's not like this. They're like, I really just want to have sex with this person. And they don't realize that, like, they could just be like, yo, you want to have sex? And if the girl's into it, they could be like, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I know. I never had to work so hard.
Yeah.
I had to, like, pretend to like so many different shit.
Oh my God. That's one of the best parts about being a gay guy, because, like, you do not have to pretend to like anything.
Really?
Yeah. You don't, if they are into something that you're not into, you can just be like, so this is great, do you want to have sex? And nobody is like clutching their pearls with shock if that happens. It's like, oh yeah, totally.
All right.
Let's just do that. This movie's not working for you? I got a good intermission we can try. Like,
gosh, why can't the heteros be like this cool?
We are a very advanced species.
I just don't get it. Like, why do I have to pretend to like your shit? Like, can't we just do not that?
Can we do literally anything else but things you're interested in? Because you're very boring. Let's have sex.
Like, at least that's not that hard.
You're very boring, but you have thick, luscious facial hair. Yeah. Can we get to the sex?
Just take your pants off. It's fine.
That's how I imagine the conversation's going with you.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, she signs it disapprovingly, Omega.
Oh.
Postscript. Taking out only one emotion is asking for a mess. Nice going, genius. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a mess. Mm-hmm. It's a mess. And mm-hmm. she insults her mother, gives herself a ridiculous dye job, and makes out with a boy who she clearly was too nervous to talk to before.
Yeah. I hope she actually likes him, though, because he's really cute.
It's true. He's a very cute man. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much for writing in, all three of you. If you'd like to send a message to us, JNL Watches on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Gmail. Literally all the things.
Do we have to do Zulu second?
We do have Zulu second, but we're going to do that. It's a totally separate thing.
Okay, good.
So, Zulu, for the holiday, has sent us this. I don't know if you've read this, because it was sent to us.
I did.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm very excited.
Dearest casters of pods, during the podcast for Buffy's Older and Far Away, an episode I remember vividly. I remember the episode of the podcast. I remember it vividly.
Sure.
Every episode I remember like it was yesterday.
I do not. That's fine.
Josh Prime said, I wish that we had kept track of, like, which episode we gave number of ratings to, because I would love to look at all of your eights together, because I think that I'm certain that many of our episodes you've given eights to were better than this one. Wow, his direct quoting of me shows just how illiterate I am. So...
Nice going.
I knew that what I must do, re-listen to the ratings portion of every podcast and put them together in a spreadsheet. We officially could have a Wikipedia now. We could have, like, a wiki.
We should have a wiki.
Let's create a wiki.
Okay.
And so, he's giving it to us as a digital Christmas gift. Attached, you will find that spreadsheet. Feel free to reformat it as you see fit, and it is my hope that you'll keep it updated as you continue the podcast.
Zulu, I'm not going to reformat anything, because that sounds like more work for myself.
And by keeping it updated as you continue the update the podcast, you mean that you will... That's what I heard. I don't know what email you read, but I heard that Zulu volunteered to be our official records keeper. That's what I heard. Anyway, so...
Good job.
So, it's really intensely specific and has all the things.
I know.
I need to source our data and kind of look at everything, but it's got the Buffy ratings, it's got the Dollhouse ratings, the Firefly, and then the other, which right now is Can't Hardly Wait, Don't Tell Mom, Georgia Rule... Much Ado About Nothing and Psycho Beach Party. Mm-hmm. We didn't rate any of them except for the second half of Psycho Beach Party, so that's fine. They're all on there. I really appreciate the thoroughness. Mm-hmm. Overall, I think the best kind of place to go, just a quick and dirty of the data. Our highest rated episode of Firefly, for me, was Ariel, the one where they go and steal the thing to look into River's head.
Sure.
And for you was Shindig, the one with the party and the big poofy dress.
Oh, of course, so that was my favorite episode.
Yeah, so that was a thing. And then in Dollhouse, I gave a 10 to Briar Rose, the one that was a
yeah.
like Sleeping Beauty story. as well as Belchos and Belonging, and A Love Supreme. I give a lot of 10s. I really liked that show.
Nice.
You gave out 10s for A Spy in the House of Love and Haunted. So really good ones. Excellent. And then we have average ratings. Oh, and we have other guests. So Zulu gave a 7 to A Spy in the House of Love. You gave it a 10. So you two are fighting.
That's fine.
And, so, and then on Buffy, let's see. So now that we have all of them in front of us, my lowest rating on Buffy is a 4 for amends. Really didn't like that. That's the Christmas episode where it snows and saves Angel from dying in the fire of sunlight. But I also gave a 4 to Bargaining Part 2, the finale of that season, as well as Dead Things, which was season 6, episode 13. Not a fan. Not a fan. You gave... Your lowest rating is The Pack. I know that for certain, because I remember it vividly.
Negative 2.
Yeah. Which drew the rating to that episode down to a 2.5 overall. Because your negative 2 and my 7 did a job.
Listen, I'm anti-killing pigs.
Apparently so. So our highest rated episode is Buffy Season 6, Episode 7, Once More with Feeling, which received a perfect 10 from both of us.
Nice.
The lowest rated episode is The Pack, which we already talked about. Amends is the next one with an average rating of 4. The highest rated episode of Dollhouse is Belonging, which received a 9.9. The lowest rated is Epitaph 1, because you have such strong feelings about Felicia Day.
Gotta leave.
No. Highest rated Firefly was Ariel. We already did that. That's good. Series ratings, my average rating of Buffy the Vampire Slayer has been 7.42, where yours has been 7.95, so you actually enjoyed Buffy more than me. Just saying.
Wow.
Our favorite show was Firefly. I gave, overall, Firefly got an 8.5, Dollhouse got an 8.4, and on Firefly you gave an 8.98, whereas Dollhouse got an 8.725.
Oh.
Which I think mostly has to do with the fact that there are more Dollhouse episodes.
Same.
So.
Like, I feel like if Firefly had a second season, I think I would still say that Dollhouse would be rated just a touch above Firefly for me.
Yeah. Dollhouse is absolutely my favorite of the things we've watched.
Yes.
Like, same. By far.
Same.
Overall, Dollhouse season 2 had the highest ratings overall.
Aww.
And Buffy season 6 has had the lowest. Shocking. Wow. Shocking revelation.
Be prepared for season 7, friends.
Just Leah has given out 29 ratings of 8.0. 25 episodes of Buffy, 3 of Dollhouse, 1 of Firefly.
Uh-huh.
Omitting the movie episodes and the recap podcast of Buffy Season 1, no rating was provided for 3 episodes. Dollhouse Season 2 Episode 6, The Left Hand, Dollhouse Season 2 Episode 9, Stop Loss, and Firefly's Out of Gas. In 2 episodes, I did not give a rating, but you did. So that was Tough Love and Buffy and Flooded of Buffy. Typically, the cast does not rate movies, but Leah did rate Psycho Beach Party at a 9.
Nice.
Quite fun. The podcast has had 7 unique guest hosts. Omega has the most appearances through 170 episodes at 4.
Aww.
India and Zulu have had 3 appearances each. Bet appeared twice. Joel, Jordan, and X-Ray have each made 1 appearance.
Nice.
So, yeah, we are, you know, we could have a wiki. That's the deal.
We could.
Also, I didn't realize that Omega has been on the show so much. Hey, Omega.
Good job.
Yes. Well, that is all the data. So thank you very much, Zulu. That must have been, like, a job of work.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to listen to myself that much, but I appreciate that you did. That is pretty intense.
Yeah.
Although I suppose he could have just made it up. We would have no way of knowing.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go check his data.
I'm sure he didn't, and so, yeah, also...
His value to data would prove that he did it the right way. But yeah, no, I think that's right. What we should do is format it a little bit differently and maybe put it on the Facebook.
Yeah.
Put it somewhere. We'll think about it. We'll figure out a strategy.
I like it.
Cool thing. But thank you very much for writing in and for doing all of that work. It's really appreciated.
Agreed.
It's a whole thing. We missed the conclusion of this episode, which is totally fine.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal.
No.
But we hope that you have enjoyed watching this ridiculousness with us. Next week, what would you like to watch?
Next week, friends, I propose you watch Lock and Key, Season 1, Episode 5, Family Tree. Kinsey uses a key to seek vengeance on a high school bully. Uh-oh. And then a troubled Nina finds a sympathetic ear. That doesn't sound weird. And then a long buried memory casts Rendell in a new light.
Oh, I don't want to cast him in a new light. No. I'm uncomfortable with that.
Me too.
So... Listen, team, really, really appreciated all the writing in. Thank you again, Zulu. That was really fantastic. Merry Christmas to you. Thank you so much. Definitely write to us. JNL Watches Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Gmail, literally all the things. And until next time, it's been real. It's been fun.
It's been real fun.
Later.
Bye.
It is time for a word from Nicholas Brendan.
Yay!
AKA Xander Lavelle Harris.
That's his middle name?
That is his middle name.
This whole time?
You know why? You know how I know that's his middle name?
How?
Because in the episode featuring the She Mantis, he goes, he says, I think he says, Danger is my middle name or something like that. Some version of that. Yeah, and then he goes, actually, it's Lavelle, and I'd prefer it if you guard that with your life.
I mean, she should, because that's terrible.
It is pretty bad. Holy. If there's any Lavelles who listen, we apologize both for saying your name is garbage and for your name.
Yeah. You might want to change that at some point.
Yeah, there are ways.
Yeah.
For now, though, let's take a listen to what Nicholas Brendan had to say to us.
Yay!
Featured in our cameo from Trent.
Thank you, Trent.
I'm gonna sing. I'm gonna karaoke you a song from that little particular episode. Sing you a little ditty. Sing it. Oh shit! I'm gonna sing it. Now it's late here. It's probably like almost 12:30 or so at night. So I can't. I'm gonna sing. I've got a theory because they're the songs I really have to belt. Or I can sing "Rest in Peace." No, I think I've got a theory. Here we go. Okay, this is commercial first, though. It's four. The commercial's four.
It's Shiori.
What?
It's four.
Shiori.
Skip. Okay, I don't know what it's for. It's a long commercial. Here we go. I've got a theory that it's a demon, a dancing demon, and that something isn't right there. I've got a theory, some kid is dreaming, and we're all stuck inside his wacky Broadway nightmare. I've got a theory, we should work this out. It's getting eerie, what's this cheery singing all about? It could be witches, some evil witches, which is ridiculous, because witches, they're a persecuted, wicked, good, and love the earth and women power, and I'll be over here. I've got a theory, it could be bunnies. Bunnies, 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 bunnies. Bunnies aren't just cute like everybody supposes. They got them hoppy legs and twitchy little noses. And what's with all the carrots? What do they need such good eyesight for anyway? Bunnies, bunnies, it must be bunnies.
It is time, once again, for the Worst Witch Minute.
Yay!
We have watched Season 2, Episode 3, and Season 2, Episode 4 this week,
we are here
to summarize it for all of you.
Yay!
So, the first one, Season 2, Episode 3, Ethel everywhere.
It's like my worst nightmare come true. Multiple Ethels.
Ugh.
Because Ethel, the original, wanted to copy herself to have more time to get more shit done. And of course the spell went awry, and Ethel, the copy, was like a jokester who wasn't serious and wasn't like Ethel at all.
And winds up stealing the Founding Stone.
She sure does.
And Mildred saves the day in the last minute, of course.
Yeah.
But not before Ethel's mom comes and tries to shut the whole school down because the Founding Stone is supposedly missing and because her daughter started a fire that no one told her about.
Yeah.
Which, like, if you start a fire, I feel like you should probably alert the parents.
Yeah.
Seems like a pretty basic
thing to do.
Like, you've started a small fire on the campus. Mm-hmm. Like, most schools with residential students, pretty anti-fire.
Yeah.
they're pretty serious about it. I don't know why that is, but they're really against fires.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Just what we need, multiple Ethels. I think that the actress who plays Ethel does a pretty decent job in this one.
I agree.
Playing different versions of herself. I think it's pretty funny. But my favorite is that the reason the spell goes awry, you might not remember this, is because the spell called for a pair of kippers and a pair of slippers, and Enid Nightshade wants to help with the spell, and she gets different fish. And she goes, it was an almost perfect version of the spell, so this is an almost perfect copy of me. It's pretty great.
Aww.
Then we watched the next episode, which was The Extraordinary Esper Vespertilio, which the big mystery there was that a chanting legend was coming to present at the school and sing their songs, and the girls are all sort of against chanting and don't think that it's that exciting, but it turns out that Esper Vespertilio is actually Miss Bat.
It is.
Her old stage name, and the school just apparently didn't announce or make public that this person was a very famous performer, because, you know, colleges and schools like to downplay the achievements of their faculty.
It's true.
Particularly when their faculty are world famous and renowned for the subject they teach.
That's
a very normal school thing to not talk about all of the accolades that their teachers have gotten.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
There's also a whole lot of gender stuff going on in this episode because a male student from another school is attempting to perform in front of Esper Vespertilio, to try and get tutoring in chanting, but the Great Wizard doesn't approve of boys chanting.
Yes.
And it turns out that this boy is actually his grandson, to make matters even more complicated. That's happening at the same time that Millie really wants a wizard staff, but only wizards get to have those. And so there's a whole bunch of gender shit going on. Turns out that when confronted about his blatant misogyny, the Great Wizard decides that his son can in fact learn chanting and Millie can in fact use a staff. However, she doesn't, and we never see the boy again. So that's a separate issue entirely.
We learned that also Miss Hardbroom might also use a staff, though.
Miss Hardbroom also seems to have a staff that she uses in secret.
Yes.
It's a secret thing. But, you know, it's very exciting. So yeah, really cool episodes, definitely fun time. But now we have to watch the next two episodes, which features Mildred's family tree.
Ooh.
And Batgirl. So
oh,
let's
boy.
Watch those, and we will see you next time for the Worst Witch Minute.
Sounds good. You know how my brother gave me that cameo for Christmas?
That hideous Goo Goo doll?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I sent it to my friend Emily, and we went to their concert at the age of 19, which was 11 years ago. And she reminded me of that fact, and I was like, fucking A! 11 years is a long fucking time ago!
But I was talking to one of my friends who is just turned 20, and I was talking about the movie A Dirty Shame, which I don't know if I've ever made you watch, but it's a John Waters film where a town is overrun with sex addicts.
Ooh!
And I was like, you really need to watch this movie because it's bizarre. And I wrote a paper on it in high school because I wanted to see it, and it was NC-17, so you weren't allowed. Even with a parent's consent, you weren't allowed. So it was this whole thing. So anyway, he watched it, and I was like, it stars Johnny Knoxville from Jackass. And he went, what's Jackass? This is what getting old is, just making references.